everybody. I'm Rose Maddox, and I'd like to tell you that you're listening to KBOO in Portland, Oregon, the station that I listen to when I'm in the area.
Andy Wawa looks a scream. Have him on my whoa. Andy Wawa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Carolyn Sipinka. She is the exhibition manager at Portland Japanese Garden, and she's here talking about subtle intimacy here and there, artworks by Rui Sasaki, which runs through June the 12th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person at the Japanese Garden.
Thank you so much for visiting. I'm very excited to talk about this exhibition.
We're actually in the Pavilion Gallery right now. It's very dark. The whole place is illuminated really by the artworks. The light seems to shine from these plant patterns within glass. Rui Sasaki is a very well-known Japanese glass artist, kind of avant-garde, you know. She'll wall herself in naked in glass bricks and that kind of thing and do things with music. What was her role here at Japanese Garden as a artist in residence? So you took her away from her home and she came to Portland.
Yes, and place and home are really important themes in Rui Sasaki's work. So she is an internationally acclaimed artist who's done residencies and exhibitions around the world. And she came to Portland and created the works that you see in this exhibition as our very first artist in residence of the Japan Institute at Portland Japanese Garden. So we're very excited for this program and so thrilled that she was the first participant in it. She came to Portland twice. It was a two-part residency. She came in two different seasons. The first was at the end of summer. She came from through August of 2022, as well as December through January in 2022 to 2023. So she got to see and experience the garden in both fall and winter. And while she was here, she visited the garden weekly and walked the grounds, got inspiration from the place and from the plants here. And working with the garden department at Portland Japanese Garden, she would collect plant material. So she would follow the gardeners, learn more about the specifics of the plants and our environment here, and collect plant material that spoke to her and that spoke to the gardeners too. Then taking these plants, she would take them to Bullseye Glass Company, which was our partner in this residency and exhibition, and encase them between two panes of bullseye glass, transparent glass, and then taking this kind of sandwich assemblage, she'd move it into a glass kiln where it would be fired at extremely high temperatures. So during that process, the plant disintegrated, turning to ash, and released moisture, creating the beautiful framework that you see here. Also during her exhibition, in addition to the works that you see here, she did several site-specific installations that are outside the gallery, placed throughout the garden itself.
So when she came here, she knew she was going to do glass because that's her medium, and she knew it would be plants and place,
yes.
Those two kind of concepts. Did she know immediately it would be like sandwiched plants between glass?
Yes. So Subtle Intimacy is actually a project she's been working on for a long time. The glass that you see in Subtle Intimacy, and we're looking at this room of glass composed of small panes of these plants collected. This was actually created over the span of about 10 years. So two of the walls feature plants collected from Portland Japanese Garden, created at Bullseye as part of this residency. And then the other two walls feature plants taken across a longer span of years from around the world that she created in Japan. So kind of it's a merging of place, of memory, of past and present, all coming together in this one installation.
So she's had this technique for a long time. What did going to Bullseye make? What difference did that make?
That's a great question. She was very excited to work with Bullseye. They're one of the leading art glass manufacturers in the world. And working at Bullseye, she was able to work at a scope and a scale that she wasn't able to previously. And what I mean by that are these artworks that we can see behind us. Working at the scale presented some logistical challenges that I believe the team at Bullseye really helped her troubleshoot and make these possible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at one of these works, you'll see when we're looking at this large pane of glass that features a branch that's preserved in glass, taken from Portland Japanese Garden. And you can see there's some cracks that almost form an X in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So this piece cracked in the kiln, but then fused. So it both broke and healed itself in the process of forming, which is something very cool that was unexpected but exciting for Rui and the team at Bullseye Glass.
So this piece is probably 5 feet wide and about 2 feet up. It's a long rectangle presented horizontally. And then the branch has left this this sort of sinuous gray mark through the middle with a couple of offshoots. And that's where the wood just burned in the kiln.
What I believe is it was a combination of the wood burning, but also the glass flexing. Mm-hmm. As it expanded and contracted through the firing process, the material itself was changing in scale and scope to create the work that we see.
And then all in the background are thousands of tiny bubbles, you know, maybe a millimeter or two across. And you can see there's a depth to the glass. There's bubbles close to you and then others behind. As you move your head, there's a parallax. And then you have this cross, which is sort of where it cracked, right? And that's kind of running right through the middle of the branch as well. Sort of X marks the spot. Do you know how many of these big works she did? Because there's three on display. Do you know how many she did before she got these three?
I don't know specifically, but I know that there were more. So Rui did a lot of experimentation and working on process at Bullseye, and then selected these specifically because she envisioned them working with the Subtle Intimacy Cube in the exhibition.
Mm-hmm. Can we look at the other two are hung the other direction? So they're tall, you know, they go vertically up the wall.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I mean, I know she doesn't put markers on, but it looks like horse tail or
exactly.
Something like that?
Yes, this is bamboo. Horse tail. Okay.
Horse tail? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And she's kept the roots, and
yes.
Then you have these four or five long stems coming up, but they're broken. There are gaps where, I don't know, they broke apart, or there was a different type of vegetation between those gaps that burnt away. Do you know?
I believe that was a combination of Rui's placement. So when she arranges the works on glass, it's part of the installation. But also I believe that might have been a factor of the process in the kiln. So if you visit the Tanabe Gallery, I believe you saw what happens to the plant when it undergoes this firing process. It changes shape, it changes size, and also expels these bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
So as moisture departs the plant, it expels in the form of bubbles. And depending on the season in which they were collected, the type of plant it was, there's a different pattern of bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates this really beautiful, it almost looks like a starry night that we're looking at illuminated from the base in a stark room, covering the canvas of this work.
Mm-hmm. So the plants, when they give off moisture and gas, that creates a big bubble, like several inches across.
Mm.
But the glass has thousands of little bubbles. Mm-hmm. Are they coming from the plant, or is that just a glass process?
It's a combination. It's a factor of the type of glass, I believe, as well as the plant itself.
At some point, is the glass totally liquid in the kiln, or is it just soft?
I believe it is a combination, like a very, very soft, malleable material.
The one next to it, it's similar setup. You have what looks like the roots, I think, at the bottom, with bigger bubbles, and then it goes up in a tall, thin strand, and then it's some kind of feathery grass that spreads out at the top, kind of like a peacock feather, especially with the bubbles forming circles.
Mm-hmm.
But there are these other long streaks down either side of the stem that aren't vegetable matter. They're something in the glass. They're long bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Are these the kind of accidents that she embraces, or did she talk to you at all about the chemistry of the glass and how it varies?
Yes. I think that something that she's spoken of in the past is how glass is both a science and an art. It involves physics, it involves place and environment, and that all comes together in the works that we see. So every work is, in a way, an experiment. You put it in the kiln, and you're not quite sure what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's part of the process, and I think part of the real magic of these pieces.
Let's look at the main piece. What do you call this thing? It looks like a room in the middle of the gallery.
Yes. So this is Subtle Intimacy Here and There. And it is exactly that, a room with a black floor that's so reflective that it almost looks like you're looking into an infinity pool where the glass panes that surround you are reflected below. And then you're surrounded when you walk inside with panes of glass of varying sizes that preserve the remnants of plants collected inside them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all lit from the base by a very thin LED light, which really illuminates the plant inside and gives it just so much detail and beauty.
So each panel, I mean, these panels vary from like a foot square to 3 by 1 to, you know, 1/2 by 3. Does each panel have its own light, or is it just the bottom of the frame?
Yes, so there's a light lining the entire bottom of the frame, and then rubber blockers are placed in between each panel to block the light coming up from in the cracks between the artworks.
Mm-hmm. And that, is there another light in each horizontal?
Exactly.
Okay, so you get this sense, I mean, when it's a fern, you get this feeling of like a fossil, because we've all seen fossils in, you know, plants captured in rock. And then you also get this kind of pressed plant, you know, like what you do as a kid, put a plant in between paper and press it. Then there are the bubbles that sometimes are really big and kind of distort everything. You know, they remind me of the bubbles in old glass in like medieval England, you know, that the floors that they left in. How does she get certain color differences? Some of these are green and some are white.
Yeah, so that speaks to the length of time that she's been working on this project and really honing her process and the works that you'll see here. So the glass pieces that you see that are slightly green are actually a different type of glass. This was, I believe the glass is called Spectrum, and it's from a company in Mexico that is no longer in operation. So it speaks to an earlier time in this process and project where she had access to a certain material that just isn't available anymore, which is all preserved in this like memory record of the project.
So some of these were made years ago, maybe the green ones. Okay.
Green.
Which side are the Portland ones?
Around the corner here.
These?
This wall and that wall. They're all Portland glass.
Okay, so can you tell the difference?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
what's the difference?
The difference definitely is in the transparency of the glass. You'll notice that none of these have that green tinge of the Spectrum glass. And this is all glass from Bullseye Glass Company. I think you can also see the difference in the variation and distribution of the bubbles. Like here, they look a lot more like the Starry Night picture that we saw on the far wall. And the bubbles on these other walls, which aren't from the garden, look a little bit more dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
Not so many bubbles, not so much illumination.
Mm-hmm.
Both are equally beautiful, but I think definitely that you can see that much more clearly in the glass and plants from the garden.
So the recent Portland ones have more bubbles and more evenly distributed and more even size, really.
Yeah.
And what about the plants?
The plants. I think that there's quite a lot of variation in both the non-Portland plants as well as the Portland-based plants. But I do think it's really fun to look through the plants that are from the garden and try to think of what plants it could have originated from. You know, like how you'd mentioned the fern. It's a beautiful fern, and I try to picture where in the garden it came from, a maple leaf preserved. I wonder which maple tree in the garden contributed the leaf. I love this little flying seed moment there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a sycamore seed. And where the seed bit is below the wings has a bubble of glass, an air bubble in the glass. And then what's the concept then about home and place, and how does it relate to plants?
Yeah, so Rui Sasaki, she's a artist and educator and had come to the States years ago to participate in studies and to teach. And she had spoken about how she experienced a lot of homesickness during that first time away from home. And she
went to RISD, right, in Rhode Island.
Exactly.
So it's a long way from Japan.
A very long way.
And she was just a kid doing art.
Right.
And what? How did she deal with her homesickness?
Through art. I think she was really interested in that as a concept and explored ideas of place, memory, the specificness of an environment, and the familiarity that you sense with home versus even places that aren't home, but you still kind of have a sense of kinship with them. She explored that through art. I think that she had mentioned that she found she was able to build relationships with places through plants. So that was kind of her access point to really getting familiarity with a place like RISD or with a garden, was through the plant material and the natural environment.
Mm-hmm. By just growing plants or enjoying them?
I think appreciating them. Like by noticing them, by talking, like through the process of this project, she got to speak with a lot of the gardeners in our garden department and learned about their relationship with the plants and environment here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a good access point.
Was she using plants in her artwork in the 20s, like early on?
I'm not quite sure about that.
How did you set it up? Or why did you set it up as a room? Was that her design?
That was Rui Sasaki's design, yes. And I think it's open to everyone's interpretation, but I think that thinking about the themes of place and memory that are prominent in her work, I think that the fact that it's immersive is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the way that you're surrounded by home and by place, you're surrounded by this place in the form of this room.
I mean, also, you know, if you do an artwork that feels like you can get inside it now, you get lines around the block, right? Mm-hmm. Infinity rooms,
right.
Rooms full of dots and mirrors and things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different relationship to art, I think. Stuck on a wall is like, oh,
it
right.
is, yeah. But
get inside it, I think people get a different feeling.
I completely agree. I think what's special about this too is that this exhibition brings the garden indoors and also takes the art that we normally see indoors in places out in the garden too. So it's kind of a blurring of indoor and outdoor in space.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, people were encouraged to walk in and around, but it's pretty safe, right? No one's bumped into anything yet.
No, we asked people to not touch any of the art. Of course, the glass is fragile and the bubbles that you noticed sometimes have very sharp edges.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are broken already.
Right, yeah. Right, but it's very safe.
Mm-hmm. My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Carolyn Supinka. She's the exhibition manager at Portland Japanese Garden. And she's here talking about subtle intimacy here and there, artworks by Rui Sasaki, which runs through June the 12th. So Carolyn, we're standing by the Wisteria Garden. And then between some very tall trees, Rui Sasaki has suspended these glass rods in, they cut like a curtain, but as you look at them, they're actually arranged as three rectangles within each other, and the slope of the ground, she's accommodated the slope of the ground, so they're longer at one end, and they look like rain, right? Looks like it's pouring over there. It's actually raining here too, and she calls it, Amayadori.
Amayadori.
And what does that mean?
It's Japanese for taking shelter from the rain. Yes, this is a really beautiful piece, site-specific to the garden, that Rui conceived specifically for this location. So during the second part of her residency, she worked with the garden department and the art department to test out installing this piece, which was a logistical and conceptual effort. So each strand of glass that you see here, there's 15,000 of them, or 1,500, apologies. These are glass strings that are about 10 feet long from Bullseye Glass Company. So they're very fragile, but also very flexible. So they sway in the wind, and short of applying direct force, they won't break.
They do bend?
They do bend, yeah.
Okay. So are these a raw material, like they sell rods for glassmakers, or do they make these strands specially for her?
They make these strands. They make them, I believe, in a shorter length for glassmakers to use, and they made these longer specifically for this installation.
Mm-hmm.
So like you mentioned, it does resemble frozen rain hanging. And when the sunlight hits it, it's so interesting and cool to see it experience different aspects of the weather here. So the sunlight will refract on the glass. Mm-hmm. In the morning, I think it's an especially beautiful time to see this piece. Just coming over the hills, you can see the sunlight hit the glass. At the evening, it changes colors. It's really beautiful.
What is it suspended from?
So it's suspended from kind of a web of wires that are a little hard to see. And they're drawn between these five trees So the trees are spaced in almost a circle, and the piece is hung in the center of this grove, in this really quiet space in the middle of the grove of trees.
Mm-hmm. And this is the spot where you can't go. There's a, you know, there's a little fence.
Exactly.
It's the grassy, mossy bit between the paths. What was it like allowing an artist to sort of trample all over it? How did the gardener get over that?
We worked very carefully to take care of the moss and to take care of this environment, which is really important for the piece to be successful. So we made sure that there weren't too many people walking on the moss at a time, and also really followed the direction of the garden department, who helped troubleshoot a lot of the hanging of this piece, how it could look best in the location. I'm really grateful to them for that. So in January, visitors to the garden might have seen Rui working with the garden department hanging like 60 or 90 strings, and then stepping back to see how it looked, mm-hmm. adjusting the height, really mm-hmm. fine-tuning it. So during her residency, she got to do all the work and process of making this piece happen.
Could she adjust the length of them just by like snipping a bit off?
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this piece too, I think that the three interlocking, as you noted, rectangles really reference the cube that we saw indoors as well. They're almost containers
mm-hmm.
or holding the shape of a space or the absence of space themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reference to rain really speaks to the environment, our climate here in the Pacific Northwest. And if you look just past them too, you can hear the Heavenly Falls, so another aspect of water just behind them.
The waterfall?
Exactly.
Yeah. What town is she from in Japan?
She's from, she's based in Kanazawa, Japan.
Which is the Portland of or Seattle or Vancouver.
I believe it's equally artistic and known for the artists and craftspeople who live there.
Yeah, but it rains a lot.
And it rains a lot.
It's
and
like
snows.
The wettest place. Is that right? In Japan.
That's what I've heard. She's a similar climate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me a bit about how does she go through the garden picking up plants? Because, you know, you're not allowed to touch anything. What was her instructions from the gardener?
Sure. So the gardeners would pick the plants. She would walk around the garden with them and just learn about plants and their experiences with the nature that's found here. Mm-hmm. And then as they clipped plants, just part of the regular maintenance, like pruning a tree, cutting back a bush, she would look at the cuttings that were taken and find interesting shapes or find plants that she thought could really work well mm-hmm. in the installation that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then would gather those and then take them back to Bullseye to start mm-hmm. making those into panes of glass.
So it was like a visit once a week, and then the bulk of her time was in the studio? Was she like wandering around the city getting other plants?
Yeah, the bulk of her time was at the studio. I believe the only place that she collected plants went from was from the garden.
Mm-hmm. So Carolyn, we're at the Cashin Tea House. I think everybody knows this place with its sort of raised platform. Inside on the, what do you call the actual platform?
So the piece is resting on the tatami mats.
Mm-hmm. And it's a glass sort of tetrahedron, right? It's solid glass, I think. Mm-hmm. You can see grooves around the edge, and there's a sort of stripy pattern on one side where it's sitting. And then somehow it's illuminated from within. So it's in this dark tea house. It's this corner, and I understand Rui cast the corner of her room. Wherever she is, she often casts the corner of the room in, well, you tell me how she casts it and then turns it into glass.
Yeah, so we're standing in front of the tea house, and in the center, in the tatami mats, there's the corner, which is a pyramid of solid glass that she formed using a mold taken from the corner of her room in Kanazawa. So this piece also, like the other artwork, speaks to place and memory and ideas of home. So if you look at the piece, it's really evident that it is not just a pyramid, but a corner of a room. If you look at the base, that striping pattern is the tatami mat, the impression of the tatami mats from Rui's own home that have left an impression on the glass, that speak to the tatami floor and the tea house as well. And I think it's something about the glass and the perspective, but the corner, the back corner almost looks raised, like inviting
it,
you
it
in.
It does, yeah. It looks like you've put something, a riser, but it's not. It's mm-hmm. flat
exactly.
on the ground.
Yeah.
And what's the thing with corners?
I think corners are, she's spoken about them as being a really special part of places. They're often overlooked. They're not really the center or the focus of a room, but they're one of the most intimate spaces, like one of the places that are most familiar to us. And I think corners too in this tea house really speaks to this, like the really intimate architecture of the space.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn, we're here in the Tanabe Gallery, which is a small space next to the gift shop. And there are small versions of Rui's work where she's, you know, put plants between glass and incinerated them. These are all very small scale. These are still Japanese garden ones?
Yes. Yes, these are all feature plants taken from Portland Japanese Garden.
Were they kind of tests, you know, or did she want to work small scale at the end as well as at the beginning?
Yeah, I think she wanted to work small scale. I think that you can appreciate the plants in a different way. It's big scale and large scale is beautiful as well, but here you can really get up close and see the detail. I think each plant has a different relationship with the small pane of glass that it's featured on, and each feels really precious and intimate.
Mm-hmm. And there's red dots, so you're selling these. Like, what would someone do with one of these?
I think having, so these actually light up at the base. So just like the glass panels in the pavilion lit up from the from the bottom of the piece and really accentuated the detail and beauty, these do the same. So somebody could take one of these home as a lamp for their bookshelf, for their bedside table, turn them on, and then have this really lovely remnant of the garden.
Mm-hmm. So that little black circle is an LED.
It is,
it's
yeah.
It's not on.
Exactly.
Because you've lit everything in a sort of gallery manner. Mm. And then there are these two videos on iPads. Tell us what's going on with that.
Yeah, so this is a process video that was captured by Bullseye Glass Company. So somehow they got a camera inside the kiln to show the process.
You. How do you get a camera in the kiln?
I know that it's through a very clever process. I'm not sure what it is, but they were able to get a peek inside the kiln and actually see what it looks like as the plant disintegrates in these extremely high temperatures, as the glass loses its rigidity and becomes malleable and turns into the works that you see on display.
I don't know how long they last. You know, 30 seconds is how many hours here?
I believe this captures 19 hours of time inside the kiln.
But they're beautiful to look at.
They are.
And is Rui going to come back or do any talks, or where can we read more about her?
Unfortunately, no immediate plans to come back to the garden, although we would love to have her here again in the future. You can read more about her. She's got a website where you can see examples of her past work, of her upcoming projects, and read more about her artist's statement and the concept behind her work there as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really beautiful article that was written about her in the New York Times that I would direct people to as well.
Mm-hmm. My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Carolyn Supinka. She's the exhibition manager at Portland Japanese Garden. Carolyn was talking about subtle intimacy here and there, artworks by Rui Sasaki, which runs now through June 12th at Portland Japanese Garden. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person, Carolyn.
Thank you so much, Joseph. I'm so glad that you got to enjoy the exhibition. It's a really special one.
Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol. Silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Tú estás escuchando KBOO por los 90.7 FM y en la internet kboo.fm.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 25 de abril del 2023. Millones de estadounidenses se reunieron sin máscara en hogares y lugares de culto este mes para la Pascua. La Pascua y el Ramadán, la última evidencia de que el coronavirus se ha retirado de la vista del público a medida que la pandemia termina, pero el retiro no es lo mismo que la erradicación. Los funcionarios federales de salud dicen que el COVID sigue siendo una de las principales causas de muerte en los Estados Unidos, vinculado a unas 250 muertes diarias en promedio.